It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm sorry, I don't know how to shut off my notifications.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here. Check it out, the series. You know the drill by now. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Tamara Taylor. We're going to be talking about a bunch of things. She's in the sixth and final season of Snowfall, about to wrap up its series. So we're going to be talking about that show, how she found her character, and director John Singleton's legacy. We'll also talk about some of her favorite 80s bands. Snowfall is set in the 80s. She named some great ones, Public Enemy, Skinny Puppy, just to name a few. Also, I'll ask her about her dressing up as a Joey Ramone for Last Halloween. And as far as the show acting opposite of John Deal, one of my favorite episodes of this season, and how she would love to play some darker characters as well. Tamara's going to go on to reveal her love of graphic novels and kung fu. And I'll ask her what character that she would like to spend more time with, maybe return to. So let's get into this. We're talking Snowfall, we're talking October Faction, and so much more. It's Kyle Meredith with Tamara Taylor.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to meet you and talk about what all's going on. Season six, the final season of Snowfall, about to happen. Wow. Congratulations on this little run right here. I mean, I know it's you're coming in on this final season. What is that experience different? Because obviously, and I know this is probably a question you get a lot with this one, but you know, when you have a cast that's been around with each other for so long, what is it being the new person in sort of this scenario?
You know, it's kind of like the first day of school. It's a little unnerving. You know, you're kind of dropping into an already established gang. Thankfully, this cast was so welcoming and so lovely, and there wasn't a moment I felt uncomfortable. So but the pre-nerves, the pre-jitters were real.
The first day of school, I'm imagining every movie that shows someone coming into school and then they have to walk you around the quad to show you all the cliques. And which each is that orientation? Is that part of it? Like, all right, these are the jocks over here.
And exactly. Well, it's funny because I think the first time I met the whole gang, we did an in-person table read, and you know, since COVID, I don't think I've been to a table read, so it was kind of wild. And I'm masked up. Everybody else is not because they've already gone through whatever protocol they've gone through. And they were mid-script because I wasn't in the first episode. And it was just incredible to sort of watch everybody go. Probably one of the most talented casts I've ever worked with. So I got to sit and kind of ease into the water gently, watch them do their thing. And of course, then, I was introduced to everyone, which was lovely. And Andrea and oh gosh, I can't remember Uncle Jerome's real name. I actually don't think I can pronounce his real name. They were sitting in front of me, and I had to just go, "You are my favorite characters on the show."
Let's, it's also, so keeping up with the show is one thing, knowing the, where who the characters are and where they come from. When you get your character, how much then do you thought do you put in it? Because there's the whole idea like, oh, I need to come up with a backstory for this person. But knowing these people have existed for so long, I mean, is that part of your process?
Well, it was helpful that I was already a fan of the show. But it's funny, at a certain point I dropped off. So I just, as soon as I, got the job, I went back and watched, previous episodes and was like, okay, I know everyone. I know I'm, current on the story. And they also introduced my character, Veronique's mom, in the last season. She talked about her a little bit, so that gave me a little bit of insight into their very strained relationship. And then Dave Andron, one of the creators, also kind of let me know what the backstory of their relationship was, which is kind of brutal. Left her daughter in prison. Grift gone wrong. She ran. Not the mother of the year.
It still seems like a fun character to play, though. I mean, there's so much, as you said before, you get to put on different wigs, you get to play little different characters,
Oh,
within this
yeah.
character and everything. Like everybody else seems to have their sort of established personality, and it's almost like they gave you something like, okay, this one's a bit magical, though.
It was so great. I really was amazing because I got to drop in. And the one thing that I was told is that she's unshakable. She's seen a lot. So Franklin doesn't freak her out. And to go toe to toe with Franklin in this season, where he is like, he's flexing. He's definitely got power. And it was really fun to sort of explore all of that, explore the different languages that I had to learn. That was crazy. And literally my first day on set was speaking Mandarin and French and English while playing Pai Gow, a game that I've never played in my life. So it's like, yes.
Just right in the deep end, right
Oh
there.
yeah. Oh
That's,
yeah. Here you go.
yeah, it's interesting. You talk about the power and the power struggles that happen on this show too, and the context of the era. Here we are looking at the 80s, and I don't know how much again, because now we're so established, how much of that goes into what you're thinking about here too, because there is a legacy that this show eventually represents, and there's a legacy that's it's happening while the show is going on. When you're talking about context and history and things like that, I don't know if you can speak to it or even if you all talk about it. But where do we leave off? What is the legacy? Because when I look at it, obviously, these are all issues that it didn't like they didn't stop in the 80s. These are all people that are still represented today.
Yeah, it's interesting in terms of John Singleton's legacy, which is talked about a lot. This was a real I think elegant bookend to his incredible career, because he started out with Boys in the Hood, and that was his homage to his hometown, and he ended with an homage to his hometown. Gone sideways, but still, the love affair that he has with this city is so, so clear.
And we'll be right back right after this.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tamara Taylor. You know, and I'm surrounded by music. So, of course, my eye is on that, or my ear, I guess, is on that the whole time, too, because you get such a great opportunity when you're sort of playing around in specific eras, you know. And
it's so great. It's so good. I'm just reminded, I'm thrown right back into the 80s, which is amazing. It's just like the good, the bad, and the ugly.
No. Yeah, okay, let's talk about you in the 80s. Like, what were you listening to? What were your groups?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was I was all over the map. I was listening to Public Enemy and, you know, I loved all, like, hip hop was my favorite, but it was also the beginning. So it was like Run DMC and, you know, it was super cool. And then I was also listening to like Paul Simon and Skinny Puppy and like all of these weird. I was also Goth Girl, Susie and the Banshees. I was all over the place. Elf and Tears for Fears. Were they 80s though, or were they 90s?
No, Tears for Fears were 80s. In fact, I've said this before that, you know, it was one of the biggest songs of all time, but I think Everybody Wants to Rule the World is the quintessential 80s song. Like it says it all.
Oh, the minute you hear those chords, you're just like, ah, I know exactly where I was the first time I heard this song.
I saw a video of you, you know, dressed as Ramones, which is sort of, I mean, they did their 80s stuff too, right? Was that a Halloween thing that I saw?
Yes. I can't believe I love that you saw that. Oh man. And I was so bummed that like, I was nervous about doing our video because we did like two, you know, my best friend in the world loves a Halloween moment. So I don't know if you went back. We also did Cheech and Chong the year before.
Nice.
And I think I nailed that a little better than Joey, but, you know, it's like, I think I said the lyrics wrong. Damn it. We've only got one video. It was only one try.
It's a fun take. I didn't even notice that the lyrics were wrong. So you had me fooled on that. At least I wasn't watching that close.
I'm such a snob about that stuff. I was like, the people who are looking are going to know.
All the good fun right there. And Pinhead, by the way, that's not an obvious song. So I think there's a lot of bonus points.
Thank you so much.
I don't even know how I pull back to this show coming from off the Ramones like that. But, but you know, I will say, I was thinking of specific moments too, because episode, what did I write down here? 5, the Ebony and Ivory. And it's you, and it's the older guy, you know, and here you are. Right. And you're just like, what an intense and beautiful scene that is at the same time. And I don't really have a specific question, but I would just love to hear about that rapport, that back and forth that you all had going there, because here we think we have someone who might be bad or evil, and it's just being this touching moment that sort of doesn't end in any great way whatsoever.
To say the least. You know, it's funny because someone described it as truth, acting truth within the grift. It was bizarre that there was, it was a grift for sure. I mean, you know, we knew what I was doing. But that there was a sweetness and an honesty that managed to creep out of there, you know, as just two parents admitting that they maybe screwed up, you know, and weren't the best. And if they had it to do over, they might change a few things.
It does get to a point where you start to question, is she acting anymore? You know,
I'm so glad.
Yeah. Just those little moments. And like I said, I think that's what makes the show one of the, you know, the brilliant ones out there, is that there's so many layers in those moments like that, that not everybody can pull off, and you all do it so well.
Oh, thank you. Well, I was just so grateful to be, to drop into such a badass cast and just keep up. I was just like, thank you. And like don 5 million wigs and, you know, personas. It was fun.
Right. Well, you know, and that's the thing is, like, you know, I call this character a little magical. Like, all I kept thinking was, they could really do a spinoff with this one. Like, not every character gets, but like, you know, I think about, you know, just here you have, you know, Master of Disguise and all the stories that could come along with it. Do you have any say in that? Can you push for that?
You know, and when we get off of this Zoom, I think that I'm going to call Dave Andron immediately and let him know, because I think it's a great idea. Oh, my kingdom, to be able to play her again, or my queendom. She was one of my favorite characters of all time. I would love to reprise that role.
Especially coming off of Diary of a Spy, and just these ideas of I think you might have said in another interview, it's these opportunities to even go darker that maybe you haven't.
Yeah, it's been a nice journey in terms of, you know, what's come, you know, what's come along my across my path. I think maybe it's just because I'm putting out there that I want to be able to dig in a little deeper and go a little darker, because Bones was so much fun. And, you know, it was like, those darn kids. Like every episode, I was like, oh, those darn kids. Which, yeah, I think Hart Hansen wrote, created a brilliant show, because the relationships were interesting. And, you know, and then we just were kind of solving these gruesome, grisly crimes while having these relationships. But because they were standalones, you never got to, you know, you never got to dig as deep as one might want after a decade. So it's nice to be able to sort of dive in the deep end. I'd love to go even darker.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tamara Taylor. But it's also interesting because, you know, you tend, well, I didn't say you tend, but you have played several characters in the past that one version of it seems to do with legal, you know, either it's on the bone side of things or it's the spy side of things, or, you know, I would ask what draws you to that. And I only, you know, will preface that question with saying I was doing an interview the other day with the actor Charles Dance, and we were talking about a lot of the stuff that he gets right for. He goes, you know, sometimes they find out you're good at something and that's what they start throwing your way over and over. Is that what it is?
I would say absolutely. It's funny. You don't realize when you start out, you know, you hear of being pigeonholed and you're just, you know, wet behind the ears and you just want to work. And that means doing anything that they give you well, if you can. So I, you know, laughed, and, you know, my agents and I were like, doctor, lawyer, cop, you know, forever. So it's been nice to kind of break out of that a little bit.
A little bit of Supernatural every now and then in there, wasn't there?
Yeah, a little bit of Supernatural. Well, you know, I think after Bones, we actively, I'm sure Charles was saying the same thing. What comes to you is often what you've already done, you know. That's what they'll ask you to do. And so we kind of said no to many things and sort of consciously steered me in a different direction.
Where would you want to go? I mean, you talk about going darker. Is there a genre that you'd like to play more in right now?
Man, well, you know, I love graphic novels. And I love kung fu. So I don't know if this is darker, but it's something I've never done before. I would love to kind of do some bizarre sort of, there's a graphic novel called Manhunter. And it's actually a few of the volumes were written by a friend of mine, and he turned Manhunter into a woman. And Manhunter, she's a bit rough around the edges, plays lawyer by day. And if she doesn't get the justice that she seeks by day, she basically takes to the streets vigilante style, you know, and goes for it. And she's just kind of a bit of a mess, a little bit Jennifer Jonesy, in that she's, you know, a bourbon drinking, cigarette smoking, not necessarily the superhero you'd expect.
Those are the best kinds.
Yeah.
They're right there. The graphic novel is interesting. That's something I always thought I should spend more time in. I have only have a few, like Neil Gaiman. I've got, you know, a couple.
I was
going to
say, you have the Sandman.
Yeah. And, yeah. And Neverwhere, and you know, the Graveyard Book. That was one of my favorites. He did it. But that's been the thing. Like I was never a comic book person per se, and that seemed different, but the graphic novel really did pique my interest. And where did that come from for you?
I think it came from my best friend, Cree Summer. She just is like the last comic book geek. So I've dipped my toe in. She is an absolute, she's fully immersed. So she'll just kind of suggest things like the, I'm looking up at my, Alan Moore is one of my favorite graphic novelists. He's amazing. And he's dark, you know?
I'll take the recommendation.
Yes. Anything Alan Moore. Tom Strong is great. He wrote The Watchmen, which was my first graphic novel that I ever read.
All right. I like the homework. I'll dive into that.
All right. All right.
Well, yeah, I'll flip the question really quick too, you know, from what you would like to do to, after having played as many characters as you have played multiple times, you know, I know you've been very fortunate to play within seasons. Are there ones you'd want to return to? I mean, I assume things like Bones, is that book is kind of closed right now, but are there other ones you're like, oh, it'd be a lot of fun to return to that though?
You know, I had so much fun with October Faction. which was the Netflix monster killer couple. I would have loved to do, I'd love to see more of them, because we, there was more story to tell, and she was a funny, she was a fun character to inhabit, you know, and I didn't have near enough time to train so that I could be the badass monster killer that I wanted to be. So I'd say I'd love to go back there.
Hearing people say there was more story to tell seems like the mantra of our era right now.
Right?
Shows you the rug is just pulled out all the time.
Woo! I wonder what that is. It's an interesting time. Like, a lot of things are being canceled. I don't know whether we have an embarrassment of riches right now. There's just so much television, so much that people aren't really getting a fair shake, or shows aren't getting a fair shake, it feels like.
That's got to be... I don't know. It's got to be on your mind, on someone's mind, you know, as you go into a project, because if you're signing on and committing to a character, I mean, there's, you know, it's like, got to be like, what if we don't get to finish the story though?
It's very strange walking in. We had to shoot alternate ends of the first season of October Faction, because we didn't know if we get picked up, the monster banging in the basement will come out and we have all our guns drawn and we're ready to go. And in the other one, you just see us all going about our business and we hear like a little knock from the basement, but it's unresolved. Yeah, like we had to do both just in case. And unfortunately we had to, you know, we had to go for the latter.
At least you got that opportunity to give some kind of closure though. I mean, I'm sure you've got them too. You know, our favorite shows that are just like, nope.
Bye. Yeah. Pack up your stuff. Yeah, it's weird. And they leave on such a cliffhanger because they assume they're coming back. Yeah, I've had that. That's not fun.
I can't imagine. So, well, at least, you know, again, being part of Snowfall, there is closure here. And it's been such a great season and such a great series. Tamara, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this. Again, it's been so great to meet you on here.
I adore you. You're such a lovely interview. This was awesome.
And my thanks to Mara Taylor. The sixth and final season of Snowfall on FX happening now. Sounds like there's lots on the way as well. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. Again, 3 brand new interviews sent to you every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address, at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
GEICO makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. That way, you have more energy for harder things, like the laundry. Why is it so difficult to fold clothes? They just end up wrinkly anyway, or on the floor in a pile that just sits there, taunting you. But with renter's insurance through GEICO, at least you know that those clothes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I love that. That's wonderful.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.